Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline Fenton is here today. How are you, Caroline?
Hello, doing great. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Ian's here today. How are you, Ian?
What up, what up?
We got Mike Tannenbaum on today, former NFL general manager, which obviously was something we got accustomed to. You know, having a former NFL general manager every day that we could bounce things off of. Tannenbaum will be on in 2 hours. Now, remember, he got fired in Miami because of Tannehill. So I'm going to ask him, what's he think about Tannehill now? And honestly, I hate to say this, but I kind of feel like Ryan Tannehill, and I mean this with no disrespect to Tannehill, but I kind of feel like he's making me crazy.
Like making you crazy or driving you crazy?
Well, maybe a little bit of both.
I think that's probably fair.
Drove me crazy last weekend.
Yes.
Making me crazy this week.
Going down this rabbit hole of QB madness.
I just want him gone. What it takes to get him gone. Just get him out of here. Just go. Just get him out. And I think Titan fans, see, this is how hurt works, right? Like, this is why people get back in relationships. Because you're out of a relationship. And, you know, you break up with somebody. It's like, oh, thank God we broke up with this person. And then a couple months go by, you know, I really miss when she used to do this. And I miss when they used to do that. And I miss when they, you know, what's up? And you talk yourself into like, oh, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And I think Titan fans are starting to go that way. I think that's kind of like Titan fans. If you talk to 100 Titan fans on Saturday night, 98 of them wanted to run that man out of town. Then I think on Monday it was like, what? 88%, 85%.
Overwhelming majority, for sure.
Now I think it's kind of like, you know, 70%, 75%. Mm-hmm. And then next week, it and
the wounds aren't as fresh anymore.
Which is natural. But it doesn't change reality. And so I thought about this. Right? Like, the way that it works for me in sports is when my team loses, if I have high expectations, it takes me about a day to get over. So if, like, for example, if the Atlanta Braves lost in the playoffs, I probably, you know, it'd take me a couple days, but then I could get, you know, if the playoff baseball's on, I can watch that fine. Especially if it's like the next round, like, okay, you know, I've moved on from the Braves losing, whatever, put it on, home run, great. Last year, the Titans lost to the Ravens. And the Titans have won the division. They were 11-5. They've been the AFC Championship game. And it was kind of depressing for me later that day. I watched the game that came on after that, the Saints and the Bears. But I thought that game was boring anyways. And then I was kind of all footballed out when the Sunday night game came around. But I think maybe I was just kind of down in the dumps because the Titans had lost to the Ravens. But I was over it. I mean, I watched the division round of the playoffs, no problem. I watched the AFC, NFC, no Super Bowl, no problem. And I keep thinking about this Cincinnati-Kansas City game. And like, Ian, you texted the group on Sunday night, and you said, man, I, you know, hard watching this Buffalo-Kansas City game.
Could barely watch any of the games.
I mean, just, oh.
Oh, it was killing me.
And I think about this Cincinnati-Kansas City game, and I'm like, if Cincinnati wins this game, it's going to re-piss me off about Ryan Tannehill.
Why?
Because Ryan Tannehill is the only reason why you're not playing this weekend. Because Cincinnati is fine. They're a fine team. But they're not a great team.
No.
And if Poopy Pants wasn't quarterbacking Saturday night, you'd be in the AFC Championship game. So I guess I'm kind of hoping that Kansas City blows Cincinnati out by 45 points. So at least I can look at the Titans and say, well, you know what? Even though you beat Kansas City and just spanked their ass a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that you've beaten them at home every time you've played them at home, you know, other than that, Kansas City's the best team in the AFC. They earned it. They deserved it. Now let's have a good Super Bowl between Kansas City and hopefully the Rams. But if I have to watch Cincinnati play San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yawn fest.
I mean, like, you're better than both those teams.
Yeah.
Like, significantly better. I can say, like, look, okay, you beat the Rams because they weren't ready for your pass rush. But if you played them again, it would be a lot closer.
Are the Titans significantly better than the Chiefs?
No, no, no. I'm talking about 49ers and Bengals.
Okay.
You're better than both those teams. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I'm just looking at you.
I think the Titans are much better, like, much. The Titans are better.
The Titans are better than the 49ers and the Bengals.
They are better than those teams.
By both teams, I thought you meant Chiefs and Bengals.
No, they are better than the 49ers, and they are better than the Bengals. Like, the Rams, Packers, Bills, Chiefs. I don't know about Dallas. Screw Dallas. Maybe Tampa Bay. Those teams, I'm like, okay, if the Titans get drawn in with any of those teams, they would be an underdog, and I can live with, like, losing to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I could live with it. If you lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised. If you lost to the Chiefs this weekend, like, the level of anger Saturday night, the level of a hurt that Titan fans felt Saturday night, I think is in large part because of the opponent. It's like everybody keeps saying, look at the golden opportunity the Titans squandered to get to the Super Bowl because they lost the division round. All you had to do is win two home games and you're in the Super Bowl. But, like, if Kansas City came in here and won on Sunday, I don't think we'd look at it as, like, a failed season.
No.
Or, like, a disappointment, or would be overly shocked. But because it was the Bengals, and they're an average team with a good quarterback, and because you gave them the game because of one of your 53 players, it's going to be hard for me to watch Cincinnati. I mean, I really don't want Kansas City to win either. But it's going to be really hard for me to watch Cincinnati win if they end up winning. And I think most Titans fans probably feel the same way I do. I think that's how Titan fans should feel. And I feel the same way about the Rams. If that freaking 49er team goes to the Super Bowl, think
Titans
about this.
Titans can beat that team in the Super Bowl.
We talked about the road the whole time. And we talked about, hey, if you get the one seed, that means you don't have to play both Allen and Mahomes. So we thought the road was going to be either the Raiders and Cincinnati, two teams the Titans are clearly better than, the Raiders or Cincinnati, either Allen or Mahomes, and then you thought probably Rodgers or Brady. And if it ends up being that it was going to be Cincinnati, like a run-of-the-mill playoff team, which is what they are, if it was Cincinnati, Mahomes, and Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't get a better road to the Super Bowl than that. You will never get a better road to the Super Bowl than that. And that's the hard part. So, like, this is the thing I guess I'm trying to tell people here is you may not hate Ryan Tannehill as much as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, But you may not hate Ryan Tannehill as much as your quarterback as you did Saturday night. But if the freaking Bengals go to the Super Bowl and they end up playing the 49ers, you absolutely should because he cost you the game and probably cost you the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I don't know about you guys in this AFC Championship game. I'm going to watch because that's what I do. But, like, I have a hard time, like, thinking about who I want to win the AFC Championship game, how I feel about the AFC Championship game. And it should feel like you're pulling a giant Titans scab because the Titans should be playing in this game. And they're not because they're overpaid, overrated, I've never seen an entire society be so apologetic for one abject failure, which is what Ryan Tannehill's performance on Saturday was. I have never seen an entire society be as apologetic as I feel like this society has been this week. And it has gotten increasingly more apologetic. So I hope you enjoy that when you watch Cincinnati play on Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me. But I am worked up thinking about this AFC Championship game. I don't know, who should Titan fans root for?
I think it's tough because you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it as, okay, the team that beat us won, so that gives validation of, like, okay, well, they beat another really good team, so that just means they're that good. But I don't think that you can necessarily look at it through that lens because it's not like the Titans got blown out by the Bengals and did everything they possibly could and played a good football team and still got beat. At that point, I think I would feel okay about it. But the Titans lost that game more than the Bengals won that game, so you can't really necessarily look at it. But I think that the Titans fans should cheer for the Chiefs.
You're disrespecting 52 people when you say that the Titans lost that game more than the Bengals won it.
Tannehill lost that game.
He lost them the game. I am rooting for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Chiefs to literally win by 55 points. That is the only way that I'll feel better about any of this, is if Kansas City goes in there and wins by like 50, you know, and like a leave no doubter, like the way Buffalo played New England. A leave no doubter. And then, and it wouldn't have been that way if they had had to come here and your defense. And I mean, I'm not saying that the Titans would have been underdogs. I think the Titans would have won if the Titans played the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
I don't know.
I there's something about the way the Titans play those kind of games.
But it would be incredibly heartbreaking if the Chiefs just lay an egg and the Bengals do win that game. And it's the same kind of repeat of the Titans game where the Bengals didn't necessarily win that game, but the other team just made more mistakes. You couldn't say that the Chiefs would play that exact same way and make those same mistakes if they were playing the Titans, and the Titans would inevitably win. But it would be incredibly heartbreaking to think about the way that it could have played out.
Oh, if Cincinnati knocks out, if Cincinnati embarrasses Kansas City, and then it's San Francisco and Cincinnati in the Super Bowl, it's 2000 all over again. Go back and look at those games. The Ravens, I think, smoked the Raiders something like 30-10 or like 35-10, and then they smoked the Giants like 24-7 in the Super Bowl. And you beat the Giants earlier that year, like. The Super Bowl was played in Nashville in the divisional round, and the Titans lost it because Al Del Greco couldn't kick anymore, which is a lot like this, except quarterback is a much bigger deal than kicker. And if Cincinnati smokes Kansas City, that is even more reason to get Ryan Tannehill out of town as fast as possible. Now, again, the fans are going to – and I say the fans because I feel like most of the fans that listen to this show are kind of on our wavelength that you got to get rid of Tannehill.
Uh-huh.
But I have heard some loud support of Tannehill, which I think is ridiculous. But, I mean, this AFC Championship game, I cannot. And I don't have any problem with the Bengals. Like, it's not like I go, oh, those Bengals are so mean. And oh, I don't care about them. But it's just the embarrassment of having lost to them and that this was your year. And Poopy Pants screwed it up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. How do you feel about the AFC Championship game, and how does that affect your wounds from the past weekend? 615-737-1025. Plus, a Bengals player taken completely out of context, but said that the Titans were scared of the Bengals. What do we think of that next? Stillman & Company, it's ESPN, 1025 The Game.
Thing about Burrow, particularly I watching him last week, like the first 7 or 8 passes, I think it was against the Raiders, the first 7 or 8 passes he threw to Ja'Marr Chase, he didn't even look for T. Higgins, Mixon, or anybody else. And the reason why that's important, guys, is because, yeah, Patrick Mahomes could do that to a degree as well. Here's my point, guys. As a basketball guy, one of the things I love about basketball is that we all talk, because of football, so complicated. You know, you're talking about things schematically. Offense, defense, special teams, right. Everything is scheme. Basketball comes down at times to, this is what I'm going to do.
Yep,
here's who's going to do it. And there ain't a damn thing you could do about it. That's what I saw. And that's what I see when I watch Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
There you go, Stephen A. Smith, talking about the Bengals ahead of AFC Championship weekend, which the Titans will not be a part of. So I saw this. You know, Titans fans tag me in things, and, you know, the Titans fans, like, you talk to, like, people around the country, like national media people and stuff, not that their opinions count any more or any less than anybody else's, but they will literally talk about, like, Titans fans sometimes get a little too sensitive or get a little too over the top. So Pro Football Focus, as you know, my favorite website, Pro Football Focus tweets out, the Titans were scared of the Bengals with a little 2 eyes emojis. And apparently has a quote, we knew they were scared of us, said CJ Uzama, tight end for the Bengals, on the Titans game via the Chris Collinsworth podcast. So people are tagging me these tweets like, they said the Titans were afraid of the Bengals. What do you think of that, Jared? What do you? And I'm like, you know, the Bengals talk a lot of trash, which is fine, because as Joe Morgan would say, you can talk the talk if you can walk the walk, and they beat you. But I actually, instead of just getting mad about something I know nothing about, I decided to actually listen to what Uzama had to say. This is the Chris Collinsworth podcast.
Like, what is up with this team? You guys just seem to have some innate swagger that carries right over to the biggest moments of the game.
Yeah, well, I think as an offense, one, like, we're on the sideline and we're watching our defense and we're kind of seeing how Tennessee's playing this. We're like, oh, they're scared of us. Like, if we get the ball back, we are going to win this game. Like, that was our mindset the entire time. Just watching it unfold, we're like, oh, yeah, they know if they give it back to us, it's game over. And then we get the ball back, and we're like, well, it's game over. Like, it's over.
Anybody have a problem with that?
I mean, he did say the Titans were scared of us, but within the context, I think it kind of makes sense.
Were the Titans scared to give the ball back to Cincinnati at the end of the game Saturday?
Yes, and they should have been.
Yes!
They should have been scared yes! to give them the ball back on Saturday.
And this is why
and
this
that's why
guy...
lost the game.
This is why this guy can't be your quarterback. And let me tell you why. Because the quarterback was everything at the end of the game. And it wasn't even about quarterbacks. Because if Davis Mills had been quarterbacking Cincinnati, I still think the way Tannehill had been playing, the Titans would not have wanted to give the ball back. Now, Burrow is better, and I would agree. Like, the Titans were scared to give the ball back to Joe Burrow. Because when Joe Burrow gets the ball back, it's one play and they're in field goal range. That's why they were afraid of it. It was two-parter. One, they were afraid to give the ball back. They were afraid to call something that had some, you know, that took some... cojones, you know, they were afraid to put the ball in Tannehill's hands because they knew he didn't have it that day, and they were afraid to put the ball back in Joe's hands. I'm not going to get it. Like, I understand Titan fans are prideful, and Titan fans want to pump their chest about, we're not afraid of anybody, and I think Jeffrey Simmons tweeted the guy, like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. But, like, when you actually listen to what he says, he's right. Everybody knew that. I was in the stadium. You were in the stadium. You knew. 2:40 to go. Ball to the Titans, 16-16. You know that the Titans just, whatever they want to do is to not give the ball back to Cincinnati with more than like a minute left and no timeouts. Because of Burrow. And what did they do? They ran the ball. They ran the ball. Then they threw it on third down. They and the Cincinnati, I'm sure Cincinnati sideline, I think Uzama's right. I think Cincinnati sideline was probably like, hey, get us a stop and we're going to win the game. I mean, I was sitting in my seats, and when the Titans got the ball back in that scenario, I was like, oh God, if they can just pull this off. Oh God. But no, like, certainly not excited about the opportunity. I told the story at the game about how they flashed up on the Jumbotron. You know, Ryan Tannehill has 7 touchdown passes, which are second in franchise history behind Warren Moon. So I read that with the implication of Ryan Tannehill's postseason numbers are actually better than Steve McNair's. And I am like, let me just say this for the record. That man is no Steve McNair. Because Steve McNair would get the ball with 2:40 to go, and the Titans, you would know. The only thing you'd wonder is, are you going to leave too much time on the clock for Cincinnati to come down and tie the game and send it to overtime? But with Ryan Tannehill, it was like, well, take the ball out of his hands because he can't make the right decision and try to run the ball. And whatever you do, like in a normal situation with a normal team with a quarterback who is not crapping his pants, those runs where the Titans got like 1 yard or 2 yards or whatever, those are going to be 6 or 7 yard gains because the defense is going to be expecting you to pass. Mm-hmm. But Cincinnati's defense didn't expect you to pass because they knew that they weren't afraid of Tannehill passing the ball.
Why should you be?
So I saw that, and I see Titan fans getting mad about what Uzama said, and I actually think it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite. I think he's right. You shouldn't be mad. You should look at that and go, wow. Ryan Tannehill was so spooked on Saturday night that Cincinnati's offense could feel it on their sideline.
And it's easy to take that quote out of context because that is what he said, but that it doesn't mean that he said, oh yeah, you know, the Titans, when we walked into that stadium on Saturday, they were afraid of us because we're the big bad Bengals. No, it was more of a reaction to how the game was going.
Well, not so much that as much as it was the fact that your quarterback stinks and that everybody else knows it. I would agree with you. Uzama did not say the Titans were scared of us. Like, hey, all week they sat at home scared of the big, bad Bengals, and we knew as soon as we got there
and
that we were
going to. And I think that's how it was interpreted, because when you take it out of context, that's where your mind goes, is, oh, like, that's awfully bold of him to say.
No. He's right.
He's right.
And he was right.
I would be scared, too.
That's what I was. I was there. I was like, oh, God. And then when the ball went in the – I told you all, I was done with Tannehill. You can look at Caroline's phone. I was done with Tannehill on the second interception.
Yeah. I'm so done.
Like, I think the fans were done with Tannehill. The ones that are, you know, sticking by their guns that he's got to go, because he has got to go. I think the fans that were done with him were done when they lost. Like, okay, you cost us the game. See ya. Get out of here. I felt that way after the second pick. I was like, I've seen enough. This guy is a bum.
Well, after the second pick, after the first pick, I thought this is either he needs to get out of his system or this is a preview of what's to come and it's not going to be good. And after the second interception, I said, okay, great. That's exactly what the first pick was a preview of what to come.
If the Bengals,
it's not going to get better.
If the Bengals get to the Super Bowl, if the Bengals get to the Super Bowl, I don't know how the Titans can look themselves in the mirror and bring this quarterback back next year. They will. I mean, I shouldn't say they will. A couple years ago, they ran into a similar situation where Mariota proved at the end of the season to be unreliable. Mm-hmm. You know, he missed week 17 against the Colts with the elbow injury, and Blaine Gabbert started, and they got caught with their pants down on national TV, and I figured they needed to do something, but I figured they were just going to run it back. I was like, you know, it's going to be Mariota and Gabbert, and they'll pretend like it didn't happen, and Marcus will be okay. And they didn't. They traded for Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And it was a shocker to everybody. So I'm praying that something like that happens with the Titans again this year. Like, I'm praying for it. But if they bring him back, I just don't know. I just don't know what they're going to do. And I hope, you know, I was rooting for the Chiefs. Maybe I should hope to root for the Bengals, because maybe that would accentuate the fact that you've got to get Tannehill out of here. Keep that thought. 615-737-1025. And we're to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
It's not just on the offensive linemen. Like, we talked about it earlier in the meeting, Jeff. Yeah. You were pointing out they are still doing, like, long developing plays, dropping back. And also, Joe Burrow is holding on to the ball forever. Himbo sent me the stat before the show. 40 of his 62 sacks came after 4 seconds.
I like that.
That's outrageous. Yeah,
I can't stand Cincinnati. And it's, again, it has nothing to do with Cincinnati. I mean, I take that back. It has a little bit to do with Cincinnati. I can't stand their coach because I don't think he's very good. I can't stand the fact that, like, I wish there was, like, more of appreciation out of the Bengals camp for what they were given last Saturday.
Like, well, they're instead not going
of,
to.
Instead of, like, everybody's doubted us all year and we've proven them wrong. Like, dude, Lamar Jackson got hurt. Big Ben is done. The Browns are the Browns. You beat the Raiders, and Ryan Tannehill gave you the game. Like, I love Joe Burrow, but, like,
they don't view it like that. It's, and like, even if they do on the inside, they're not going to say it.
I know. See, I would say it. If the Titans had something similar happen, I would say it. And then, I mean, the text line calls would just be like, no, Jared, we're a tough team. You don't believe
it. We said it about the San Francisco game.
And that's my other point that I wanted to get to there. Thank you for saying that.
Of course.
If San Francisco gets the Super Bowl, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Because I looked at the NFC, like, going into the playoffs, and I was like, you know, I think Buffalo is a better team than Kansas City. Like, that game was played at Arrowhead. I think Buffalo is a more solid, well-rounded team, tougher out than Kansas City would have been.
I think if they play that game that they played, what was it, 2 weeks ago, last week, 10 times, I think Buffalo wins it like 6 or 7.
Especially if the game is not in Kansas City. But the game was in Kansas City. And again, by the slimmest of margins, I mean, it was a coin flip is why they lost. I think Buffalo's the better team. And I think Buffalo would have been the harder out for the Titans. But to look at it like, instead of, you know, there's Mahomes and there's Allen and there's Brady and there's Rodgers and there's Prescott and there's... To look at it like, yeah, all you would have had to do if you could get past Mahomes, all you would have to do is get past Mahomes once, which you've done twice at Nissan Stadium, 0-2 at Nissan Stadium. All you have to do is get past Mahomes, which is no given. They would be the favorite in this game on Sunday.
They would.
All you have to do is get past them, and then it's Jimmy freaking Garoppolo. And there's going to be so much talk over the next 2 weeks if San Francisco wins this game about how, in the face of adversity, after San Francisco wanted to move on from Jimmy, Jimmy has proven the doubters wrong. Or there's going to be people here locally that are like, well, if Jimmy can do it, Tannehill can do it. And the reality is, Jimmy tried to give away the Cowboy game. Jimmy kind of did early on give away the Green Bay game. And I don't know what superhero effort Jimmy would have to pull off in this game, or what the defense would have to do or special teams would have to do in order to get Jimmy over the hump of this game. But, like, I've watched now 4 Jimmy games. Titans, the Bengals game that I went back and watched this last week, you know, before the Bengals.
Rams game.
The,
not the Rams game, the Packers game.
The Packers game and the Cowboys game. He sucks. Like, he sucks.
I mean, in those games, he didn't do anything to help them win. And in the game that, the Titans game that you're referencing, he's the reason why they lost.
He sucks.
Throwing the interceptions. I mean, you look at the Green Bay game, look at Jimmy Garoppolo's stats. And I don't like to just go by the stats, but you can't say, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo led that team to a win.
He hit Deebo Samuel for one throw.
He had 100 and something yards and an interception.
And the interception was awful.
Yes.
I mean, the interception was awful. He stinks. And to know that you had 2 games at home where you really had to beat one good team, Kansas City.
Which is easier said than done.
Right.
Like, all you had to do was beat Kansas City.
But you would have gotten your shot.
Yes.
Like, that's if Kansas City had come in here and had smoked the Titans on Sunday.
And the Titans played a good game and they just weren't good enough.
Right. And then they go off to, you know, knock off San Francisco again in the Super Bowl. I can live with that. Mm-hmm. I can live with that.
You at least get your shot.
Oh, goodness. Phones, 615-737-1025, Fireball Hot Take Friday here on the program. I did see somebody, phone lines, by the way, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I did see somebody tweeted in and was like, oh, here goes day 5 of whining about Tannehill from Jared. And I'm like, you know what?
Get used to it.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I was listening to, you know, the sports show I like in Boston.
Yeah, Felder Mass. Mass.
So they were talking about, they say that there's a coach problem in the league. Their theory was that owners are too dumb because they're all now the kids of old owners. Mm-hmm. So they hire these dumb coaches, and that's the problem. And that there are more good quarterbacks than there are good coaches. And so they did this thing with the 3 of them where they were like thumbs up, thumbs down on coaches. And, you know, if 2 of the 3 said thumbs up, then it was a thumbs up. Or 2 of the 3, then it was thumbs down.
Right.
And they were going through, like, from the bottom, like, okay, do you feel good about the quarterback situation? Thumbs up, thumbs down. And, you know, it'd be like Carolina, Sam Darnold, thumbs down.
Oh, yeah.
So then they were going through all the good teams, like all the playoff teams. Cincinnati, thumbs up, thumbs down. Up. Kansas City, up. Buffalo, up. Dallas, up. Tampa Bay, up. Like, all of them up.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee, down. I was like, oh.
That hurts.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Titans in truth. Chris is up next here on Stillman & Company. Going to kick us off on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go ahead, Chris.
Jared, my friend, Miss Caroline, how y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I got
Chris, by the way, I just want to say, I clicked on some YouTube thing you were on the other day. I'm not going to lie. I watched for a while, but it was just one guy talking. There were 4 of you in a box, and it was one guy talking for like 15 minutes. It's like the Stillman & Company show. Please let other people talk, Chris. I want to hear you.
Yeah, I was on one for a little bit, and it was pretty cool with those guys. So I appreciate that. And I just want to say, and I said this before on mine, to all the apologists out there, I want to ask you this. I don't know if I can bear to watch any of the games because, like you said, if the Bengals win, that's just going to make me mad all over again. Because it's like, that should have been you. But I want to ask you this. To all the apologists out there that, I mean, don't offense to everybody, that's delusional. If you're thinking, well, don't be so hard on Tannehill. Tannehill got there, but he lost you the most important game. And at the same time, isn't that committing a sin or an act of boboism if you're not realizing that Tannehill is not the guy going forward?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It's ridiculous.
No, I appreciate your call, Chris. See, the thing about Nashville is within the last 20 years, it went from truly a minor league town to what I think is probably a pretty large market.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about the idea of Russell Wilson wanting to come here. I think
that's
Russell.
That's a realistic thing to talk about.
I think Russell would want to come here. And obviously, the team is probably why Russell would want to be here. But, I mean, I think, like, Russell, like, the idea of living in Nashville is not beneath Russell Wilson.
It's a nice city.
So, I think sometimes there's, like, a lot of minor league thinking that goes into kind of how either the people here sometimes think or how the media who covers the team thinks. And I feel like if you are apologizing for Tannehill, that is a very minor league approach. That is very much a, you know, he's our guy, give him another chance approach, which is how you get stuck with Jeff Fisher as your head coach for almost 15 years. Because it's like, well, you know, give Jeff Fisher another chance. When in all seriousness, they should have fired Jeff Fisher in 2005. Like, they should have run his ass out of town and brought in another coach, and they didn't do that. And so I do feel like, you know, he talked about Boboism. I just don't know how there's any way you can truly defend Tannehill. Like, I just don't, I mean, and I know there are people out there doing it, but I just don't understand how you can have worked as hard as this team worked this year, and you could put yourself in the opportunity that they had, and then just get run out against an average team who has no business playing in this AFC Championship game, and it's all because of one guy. And everybody just brushes it off. Like, I've listened to Taylor Lewan's podcast, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's just tough for the guys, for the boys. You know, boys. It's just so tough that we worked so hard, and we were so ready to go, and we're so fired up, and we're so...
And does that not make him angry? That, like, they were ready to go, and they worked so hard.
Like, you cost, like, blame the guy who cost you the game.
And the whole this is our guy mentality, I understand that the loyalty is honorable, but at the end of the day, this is a business in which the only thing that matters is winning.
If it's about the team, Tannehill should get back $20 million. Say, hey, you know what? You know what? Here's $20 million, because I don't deserve it, and the team has to be great around me.
Well, I don't think he's going
to
do that.
Well, we'll get to that point in just a second. Team has to be great around me. I'm not good enough to carry the team. Here's $20 million to go use on the salary cap for everybody else so that I can stay quarterback. Now, what were you going to say?
I said I don't think he's going to do that.
I don't either. But if everybody owes Tannehill something, then doesn't Tannehill owe back? Like, and that's my point.
It doesn't work like that.
You don't
though.
Owe Tannehill jack. That's my point. The players on the team don't owe Tannehill anything. Like, when
the players on the team did their jobs.
I mean, what was the Lewan quote? We ride or die with Tanny. The boys ride or die with Tanny. Yep, you die. You're at home this weekend. Kansas City and Cincinnati are playing, and you aren't. And so you died with Tannehill. So you want to die again?
You'll ride or die with someone else. I feel pretty certain about that. I mean, you mentioned it the other day that with Mariota. Marcus is our guy.
I love Marcus.
And then Ryan becomes the starter. Ryan is our guy.
See ya. Get out.
I guarantee you, you'll ride or die with a lot of quarterbacks in this league.
I just say... Get out. Like, if you got that, you know what? Fine. Get out. That's my approach here is if you aren't good, get out. And I felt that way about every player on all these teams. It is never personal. It is never emotional. It is never. It is if you can't do your job, get out. And sometimes I feel like as a city, as we grow into a bigger city, sometimes we need to approach things like that. Like Jerry Stackhouse, I never met the man. He blocked me on Twitter, but I've never met him. I've never tweeted him.
I heard he does that.
Get out. Because he can't win any basketball games.
He's a serial
games.
Blocker.
Get out. 615-737-1025. I see your phones. We're right to him next here. On a Fireball Hot Take Friday, after these words, Stillman and Company. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week is half off a $25 gift card to the Hard Rock Cafe, home of the best music scenes in the country. There's no better place for great food, a vibrant atmosphere, and most importantly, a love of music. To keep in tune with the good time tradition that Nashville is known for, Hard Rock Cafe hosts live band karaoke every Thursday night. I heard Caroline Fenton is going to be participating in that every single week. Visit hardrockcafe.com for all upcoming events. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. So I didn't know what to put on this segment when I put out the Twitter link, so I just said I think Ryan Tannehill is going to drive me crazy. I think, like, officially, like, trying to get, like, the anxiety of thinking of starting next football season with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback of the Titans, I think is going to drive me crazy. I promised phones. So phones were 615-737-1025. Ellie is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, a couple of things. First thing is, Taylor Lewan also backed Zach Mettenberger as our franchise quarterback. So it's not that high.
That is true.
Second thing, let's not make the same mistake Jacksonville did with Blake Bortles. You know, he got him to the playoffs, got him to the AFC Championship game. They had an opportunity to draft a much better quarterback and go further. And we have a Super Bowl caliber defense. Let's not ruin it. We have to find a quarterback because he's peaked to where he could take us. Let's find someone who could take us to the promised land. Thank you.
Ellie, thank you. They've already done more than the Jags did with Bortles. When the Jags extended Bortles, it was like a soft commitment. It was like, you know, it's a 3-year deal, but it's really more like a 1-year deal, and it's really not that much money, and we really want to get out of it. We can kind of get out of it, and then we're going to get out of it, and then they got out of it, and they went and got Nick Foles, and like, you've already done worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to explain to people about the whole Julio Jones thing and how there are so many little layers to this that's so much larger than, well, hey, one guy just reworks his contract, Julio comes in, I mean, let's go. It's like, no, there's a lot. If you make this choice, it affects you on other choices. And nobody wanted to listen to me then. And now everybody just looks at Tannehill. This is one of the things I've got to get on our local scribes about. If you go to any of these websites that say, there's two of them, Over the Cap and Spotrac, and they say that Ryan Tannehill's dead cap number is $57 million.
Which hurts.
They see that and they're like, nope. Nothing you can do there. But that's pre-June 1st. So things change after June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cut, not a trade. So in theory, if you trade, then it's a lot less. But nobody has done any investigating about that or any reporting to any of you about that. Now, we've done it. But I haven't seen anybody. I've just heard people just say, well, you know, it's just this. Well, that's just the end of it. And it's like, that's really not how winning works in the NFL. Like, that's really not how it works. Like, you people should understand that they can get out of this guy. It's going to be painful. But they can, and it's not going to be $57 million against the cap. Unless they decide to cut him today, which they're not going to do.
There's never nothing that you can do in terms of getting out of a player, getting out of a contract. Oh. I mean, it just depends on how much you really want to do it and how much you think that this player cannot help me win. And once you decide that, I think anything is possible. Now, getting out of some contracts hurt more than others, but nothing is ever impossible in terms of contracts.
But I don't feel like the media here is telling the fans that.
That's because a lot of them aren't.
That's what they should say.
Well,
I digress. Kyle is up next. Thank you for calling on Derrick Henry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Jared. Do you think that for Derrick Henry, we could get, you know, some good trade prospects and some draft picks that would improve the Titans and possibly even make Tannehill a better player? I mean,
no.
Get some protection for him? I mean, we've got... Let's face it, we've got a good running back core, even without Henry. I mean, I know that's not a popular choice. I love Derrick Henry.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What do you think Derrick Henry would fetch?
Yeah, see, that's the question. I wasn't sure about that. Because of the injury, has his value come down where there's that question mark there? What do you think?
So I appreciate your call, Kyle. You're talking about, I think Derrick's like base salary for next year is somewhere around $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about like a $13 million running back. And, like, the signing bonus is not a lot, and it was spread out. Like, Derrick is honestly a prime restructure candidate. But if you did it, you would almost be beholden to him for next year, and I'm not sure the Titans want to do that because I think, you know, running back approaching 30, you know, you want to kind of keep your eyes on it. You probably, I don't know, get like a second-round pick back for Derrick just because of the salary that he has and the injury that he's coming off
Only
of.
Only a second-round pick?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Jamal Adams gets two firsts and Derrick Henry gets a second?
Yeah, people just don't value running back.
But Derrick Henry?
Yeah, people just don't value running back.
That's nuts.
Tannehill's cap hit's like four times the amount of Derrick Henry's. People just don't value running back. So, I mean, then again, Julio Jones, someone was dumb enough to give a second round pick last year for him. So maybe, you know.
Yeah, who was that guy?
I don't know. So, I mean, I just don't think you're going to. Here's the thing. I don't think you're going to fetch that much for Derrick Henry. I also think your selling point on any of these other quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Brady, is Derrick Henry. Like, I think that's part of your selling point to Russell Wilson is we've got Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and the name of Julio Jones. And a defense that got 9 sacks and a coach that everybody, you know, seems to like until the, you know, biannual article that comes out that people don't like Vrabel. For the most part, it seems like people like Vrabel.
Yeah.
So that's the selling point. So if you trade him, then you're not getting Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. And so...
And then you're not getting Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, which would mean your starting quarterback next year is probably Ryan Tannehill. So now you have Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and no Derrick Henry.
Oh, God.
That there is no offense. Is no offense. You have A.J. Brown, but who's giving A.J. Brown the ball? Because I don't trust Ryan Tannehill throwing it.
Henry has a $12 million salary, $3 million signing bonus, and a $15 million cap hit. That's a lot of money. That's 15 against the cap for Derrick Henry on a $12 million base. But, I mean, the truth is, like, I was thinking about this. I think they're going to cut LaJuan.
But, and I hear you, because his cap hit next year is astronomical, $14.5 million for a player that's missed 19 games in the last three seasons. But what do you do at left tackle?
I think they will figure it out, just like they did when they cut Dennis Kelly last year. I think they want out of the LaJuan business.
I mean, it's just a lot of money for an unreliable player.
It's a lot of money for an unreliable player who talks too much, you know, and cares about talking too much.
Yes.
Scott is up next on Derrick Henry. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Scott.
I understand this is not, you know, Tannehill's the reason, the main reason the game was lost. But I just haven't seen this mentioned. I guess two questions. Number one, would they have been better off playing Derrick Henry 4 or 5 carries week 17 to get him back in the game flow, because he did not look game ready during the playoffs? Or alternately, would they have been better off not getting the one seed and playing New England or Pittsburgh the first round and getting – Derrick Henry up to speed that way?
So, Scott, I would say that, and I appreciate your call. I would say that's pure second guessery, and yet I do think the answer is yes. Like, I do think, I honestly think that playing the Steelers in the first round of the playoffs would have been beneficial to the Titans to kind of get the, you know, nervousness of the playoffs out of them, because it clearly was a problem with the quarterback.
But also, if they were to play the Steelers in the first round of the playoffs, then we would be saying, well,
Buffalo would have come in here for the divisional round.
Yes, and we would also be saying, well, you know, if we only got that bye week, because Vrabel performed so well after the bye.
Like I said, it's pure second guess.
Oh, for sure.
But, I mean, let's kick it around the room. Titans at Nissan Stadium, divisional round game. Let's say the Titans had held on to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. Titans divisional round game, they beat the Steelers, and the Titans at home against the Bills, the way the Bills have been playing. Who would you take?
Bills.
Ian?
Bills.
I take the Bills, too. So you end up in the exact same spot.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it makes much of a difference. I mean, the truth is, if, like, you can't beat that freaking Bengals team, you don't deserve to be playing this weekend. I don't look at this weekend like, I don't look at the AFC, like, I think it's hard for Titans fans to fathom that. I mean, like, they know they're not playing this weekend. It's not like Titans fans are, well, I don't want to use a comparison.
Live under rocks.
Well, I don't want to use the comparison of, like, people that didn't win but think they win sometimes. But it's not like the Titans thought that they, Titan fans thought that they won that game Saturday. Like, they know they didn't win. They know that, but, like, to watch the Bengals out there playing in a game that should be played in your stadium, at your city, like, in, like, that I think is going to be tough for a lot of people. And I think the bigger factor with all of this, like the harder factor with all of this, is like it was really one dude who screwed it up.
And it's really frustrating, because that's the one guy who screwed it up who so many Titans fans still want to defend. I know a lot of them don't, but a lot of them do.
Like,
I don't get it.
So they traded for him, because that was kind of a surprise thing. And I think if the Titans are going to trade him, it's going to be a surprise thing. And they traded for him at like 150 right before a Friday show one time, right at the SEC basketball tournament. They traded for him. It was like, okay, Tannehill's in. If they trade him and it's like the shocking out of the blue thing at 150, I may like spontaneously combust out of excitement.
I'm 911 on speed dial.
I mean, especially if it's to go out there and get one of these quarterbacks that might be around. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Speaking of the quarterback position, did Vrabel tell us something without telling us something? I'll explain next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell you about Focus. That's right, Focus. I'm a big fan. I got my mixed berry Focus right here. I'll be in Louisville this weekend, where Focus was founded, but they are here in Nashville. You can go to your local Publix and find a Focus, or you can go to Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. It is sparkling and naturally caffeinated sparkling water, so it is a sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator. So get the coffees that mess your teeth up. Get the energy drinks with all the artificial sugars or the calories. Get those out of your life. Get Focus, naturally caffeinated, sparkling water with a spark, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. Use promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout for 15% off. Check out all their flavors and have it delivered right to your door. Or go ahead and stop by your local Publix and give it a try. That's Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. Drinkfocus.com.